Starting the recordings, make the announcement. Torreway, Northwest London, Sunday, Chof Gimel Nissan, 24th of April, Isru Chag, Rabbi David Simon Shlita. Is it still Chol HaMoed today?
Good morning.
This isn't high enough for you.
It's not.
It's too high.
I'll trust it.
To go like this.
Okay, I got you.
You have to go down.
I got all of you now. It's fine.
Good morning. So first of all, before I start, I'd like to introduce myself. I see some friendly faces there. So some of you know who I am. My name is David Simon. I come from Kingsbury, which is 4 miles, I think, that way. Belada, it's 4 miles that way. The 183, if you don't know. And my very esteemed father-in-law, Rav Yitzchak Kaufman, is a regular here. And before him, unfortunately, he's moved now, but my very esteemed grandfather-in-law, Richard Kaufman, was a regular here.
He's still a regular in Manchester.
Right. He's not a regular here now.
No, our branch.
It's a franchise. And I very much consider myself a member of your base medrash. Because very often on a Friday, if I speak to my father-in-law, he says, "You want to know what the guy this morning said in Torahway?" He tells me his question, he tells me if he agrees with the answer, I tell him if I agree with his answer. I very much consider myself someone who's discussed. I must admit, I also sometimes start the day the Torahway. I sometimes tune in. You have some very amazing shiurim. I don't know if anyone's tuning into this. If you are, I'm with you. I also tune in.
Another amazing shiurim.
And yeah, we'll see. It's very much a privilege to be here with you. I consider it a tremendous honor that you allow me to address you. And the truth is, I remember when I prepared for my son's Pidgin Aben, I learned in the Sefer Chinuch there's a whole number of mitzvahs there, and he makes a whole grouping of different mitzvahs. As from memory, the ones I remember are Reishis HaGeiz, Bikurim, First Fruits, and Pidgin Petach Chamor. He has a whole group of different mitzvahs, and he says the unique thing about all those mitzvahs is that a person's first efforts are the most endeared to him. Whatever a person does first, the finest of his crop, so to speak, and to take that finest of the crop and to dedicate it to the Ribono Shel Olam, to Hashem, is considered the ultimate self-sacrifice, is considered the ultimate expression of Avodas Hashem. And he says that's the common theme, and he has a list of all these mitzvahs. So I think I could say about Start the Day the Torah Way that to take the first of your vigor, every morning we get a new lease of life, we get a new ability to serve Hashem and to do our affairs in this world. And to take the first of all our efforts and come and to stay in the base medrash and serve Hashem, to me, is a tremendous thing, and I tremendously admire everyone here. And also, it's a pleasure. I love the pictures. I mean, the pictures are amazing. It wasn't easy. You think that picture just comes out to pose for it. It was like a passport picture, you know. And I had to smile but not look crazy. It was a challenge. So the title of this year is it Chol HaMoed today? So, I mean, it's obviously not Chol HaMoed today. I don't know how you didn't come because of that. It's not Chol HaMoed. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you're going to see there's a whole group of halachas about Chol HaMoed, and they don't apply today. You can only do certain types of work. You can only, there's 5 exceptions to what you are allowed to do. And Lo Shomani, we've never heard that those halachas apply on the day after Yom Tov. However, Isru Chag is a very mysterious day. And I wanted to learn a little bit with you all today, a little bit about Isru Chag. And then, please God, at the end of the shift, if we have time, I'm going to show you there's a Rishon who actually calls today, not because of Isru Chag, like Chol HaMoed. And we have to understand what he means, because it's, again, if you look in halacha, it's not Chol HaMoed, and yet we have a Rishon, and Rishonim are extremely careful with their words, and all of a sudden he says this is like Chol HaMoed. So we have to understand what that Rishon wants. But first let's start with Isru Chag. So Isru Chag is a very mysterious day. It's hard to even translate the word Isru Chag. You hear the word Isru, you think like Isru, it's like as in forbidden, the forbidden day. Like it's a difficult word to even translate. So what does it mean? So we're going to start our journey with a Ramon. It's actually a Ramon in Hilchos Chodesh Nisan. It's not in Hilchos Pesach. It's in Hilchos Chodesh Nisan, which in itself is a question which we'll try and answer. Why does the Ramon discuss this in Hilchos Chodesh Nisan? And the Ramon says, "V'noagin nahavos k'tzas ba'achidu v'shtir b'yom achar chag." The minhag of Kalisol, well, of Ashkenazim, is to eat a bit more and drink a bit more on the day after Yom Tov. V'hu es suchag, and that day is es suchag. And he quotes the Gemara in Sukkah. So that's perhaps the main, most explicit reference that I know of to Isuchag. So in order to appreciate what he says, we have to see what he quotes. So he quotes the Gemara in Sukkah. It's the Gemara in Mem Hei Amud Beis. And it's a mysterious Gemara. The Gemara says, Omav Yemi, or Mishum Abshem Benichoi, Babyoch Mishum Mishum Hamchuzi, Mishum Babyoch Namukuti, Kol Ho Oise Isu Lechak, Bachido Vestio, Malolov Hakosov Ki Inubonum is Berg, for Hikriv Korban Korban. The Gemara says that anyone who makes an Isu Lechak is considered like he built a Mizbeach and he offered on that Mizbeach a Korban. Shinema, where's the source for this? Isucha ba'voisim ad kanos ha'mizbeach. A very familiar pasuk to us. We've said it many times over the last few days. If you've done nusach sfad like a million times, isucha ba'voisim ad kanos ha'mizbeach. So again, it's hard to translate. What exactly is the translation going on in this pasuk? So we're going to see. The Gemara, incidentally, the Gemara here is going through plenty of different pshatim how to translate this pasuk. So Rashi explains that the word Isu, Rashi says, is a word of Eged. Rashi says, Isu l'chag, aguda l'chag, a connection to the Yom Tov. And then he says, ba'avoisim means like, he says, behemos avois v'shmenos. Ba'avoisim is the language of avois, thickness. So, kolo oisa, Isu, so where is it, sorry? So he says, Isu chag ba'avoisim, he translates as anyone who makes a connection, an eged, to the festival, ba'avoisim, with thick, luscious animals, ad kanos mizbeach, it's considered until they've reached to the horns of the mizbeach. So that's how we translate the pasuk. Isu chag ba'avoisim, anyone who manages to make these thick, luscious animals, on the day to make a connection to the festival, ad kanos ha'mizbech. It's like they built a altar, a mizbech, and they've offered on it a korban. So that's how we translate the pasuk. But still, what does it mean? What does it mean? You make thick animals in order to make a connection to the altar. So Rashi actually has two pshatim. First pshat Rashi says is that it's talking about actually on Yom Tov. Rashi says that even on Yom Tov, if you eat nice fat animals, then it's considered a tremendous thing, a wonderful thing. And why is that considered a connection to the festival? So I think the simple pshat is that people, you know, as the English adage goes, a way to a man's heart is through his stomach. People are very affected by what they eat. And if you're eating nice things on Yom Tov, then you're automatically going to identify and enjoy Yom Tov more. So the first pshat of Rashi is, on the day of Yom Tov, the more nice the things you eat, the more connection you're going to have to that Yom Tov. The second pshat of Rashi says, this is referring to the day after Yom Tov. Isucha. So Rashi is understanding that anyone who connects the day after Yom Tov to the Yom Tov is considered like they've brought a korban on the mizbeach. Now, how do we connect the day after Yom Tov to the Yom Tov? So the pasuk says, "Behemos ba'avoisim, thick, luscious animals." So it comes out from this whole limit in the Gemara that the whole point of Isu Chag is that anyone who eats nice food after Yom Tov will connect them to the Yom Tov, and based on that, you're it's considered very commendable. That's the Gemara, and that's pretty much what the Ramah Paskin for us. The Ramah told us that we have a minhag that the day after Yom Tov we eat nice foods, we drink nice foods, and we do that the day after Yom Tov in order to, well, he doesn't say, the Ramah actually doesn't say why, the Gemara's telling us why. So that's the source of this halacha. Incidentally, it's the way I've explained it to you. I've explained building an altar, building a mezbech, and being makriv, offering on it an offering. I just explained it as a euphemism for a good thing to do. It's hard to understand exactly why that particular language is used, and maybe I don't think we have time for it. I have a theory that's probably best left with me, so we won't get there. Fine. So that is the halacha. Now, the problem is that this is a very mysterious halacha, because, you know, if you look at Hilchos Yom Tov, there's a whole plethora of different halachas that we employ on Yom Tov. And it's very bizarre that suddenly we take one halacha, and this is the main halacha of Isuchag. We're going to see there's another, but certainly the way the Ramah brings it, this is the main explicit Gemara and halacha about Isuchag. Eat nice food, drink nice things, and you've suddenly made a connection with Yom Tov. And it's hard to understand what exactly, how do we suddenly arrive at this one halacha? So the way I understood this before I started is I had a question to myself. I said, what is this Isuchag business? Is this going to be a part of Yom Tov? And that hence the name of the shir, is it still Chol HaMoed today? Because if you look at the Jewish calendar, you're going to see that there's many times in the Jewish calendar that the times before and after a festival actually are some sort of Yom Tov. The most recent one is Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach is a Tosfos Pesachim that says it's considered a Yom Tov. It's the Zman Shechitas Pesach. There's other ones. A random one is Motzei Yom Kippur. Apparently, I've never learned it, but apparently there's a Matar Ephraim that says that Motzei Yom Kippur was a type of Yom Tov. Why was it a Yom Tov? Because the Kohen Gadol came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim unscathed. And we say in the Davening there that he made a Yom Tov for his whole household as recognition of the fact that he didn't die. So, and also Motzei Tisha B'Av, I mean, obviously this is in the other direction, but on Motzei Tisha B'Av, the 10th of Adar, certainly until Chatzos, has a status of the equivalent of the 9 days. It doesn't just become, you've done Tisha B'Av, it's all over. It becomes a sort of Yom Tov, so to speak, because Moed can be, unfortunately, either the good or for bad. As we say in Makos Deva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he called it a Moed, because Moed really means an appointed time, whether it's for good or for bad. So we do find in the Jewish calendar many times before and after Yom Tov that really do have some aspect of the Yom Tov. So I was very interested when I started learning this. What is Isuchag going to be? Because I knew that there's a few halachas. So is it going to be a Yom Tov? And I really, just for myself, mathematically, it seems to me there's two possibilities. One say?
No
Tachnun. That's the biggest Yom Tov. Right. There's no Tachnun anyway. There's really two mathematical possibilities. One possibility is that it's really a very watered-down Yom Tov. We had Chag HaPesach. We had the zenith of Chag HaPesach was the first and the last day. In the middle, we had a watered-down Chag HaPesach of Chol HaMoed with all of its associated halachas. And then the day after Yom Tov is an even more watered-down version of Chag HaPesach. And it's so watered-down that it only has very, very limited halachas, namely no tachnun, and namely this halacha that you should eat and drink nice things. That's one option. But the problem with that option is it's hard to understand why specifically such a limited range of halachas, just eating and drinking. You know, Pesach is like quite an encompassing festival. If I would choose one little remnant of the festival, I'd say no more chametz until tomorrow, and Brzezinski's would be out of business, you know. I would stop this Friday night, Saturday night Carmelis thing, everyone's going home. Like, that's what I would do, but that's not what we find. We just find you should have a nice meal, you should remember, have a happy Yom Tov, you know. That's one option. However, there's a big advantage to that option, which is that it's hard to understand why Chagim should just come out of nowhere. Because the other option, one option is it's a watered-down version of the festival. The other option is that, no, the festival's over. Pesach finished last night. And now, either Chazal or the Torah or whoever it is, it's not so clear, from wherever this halacha comes from, they invented some quasi-yontif, some very limited yontif for whatever reason they invented it. And that was what was created. And it's nothing to do with Pesach. It's not Pesach anymore. Pesach finished yesterday. This is nothing to do with Pesach. This is just a new invention, just to connect you a little bit to what happened previously. Now, the advantage of that approach is we could understand why there's such a limited range of halachas, just eating and drinking nice things. We could also understand why the halachas chosen are the ones chosen, because what's going to connect you to the yontif better than having a nice meal? And what's going to connect you to the yontif better than having a nice drink? And that's why we're not interested in chometz. So the advantage of making it a new legal creation the day after yontif is we understand this very limited arbitrary range of halachas. But of course the disadvantage is yontifs don't usually pop out of nowhere. Where did it come from? So again, just to summarize, this was the question I had. Is Issuch Chag going to be a watered-down version of Pesach, in which case I'm happy, at least I know where it's from. I know that we just have Pesach, now we're living the remnants of Pesach. Or, no, Pesach's finished, it's a new creation, we made up some new creation to connect you to Pesach, but we can understand why it's so arbitrary, and we understand why it's specifically eating and drinking to connect you to the yontif, but it's hard to understand, well, where did it just come from? It's not so easy to just make up yontifs. Yeah.
I mean, Shabbos has a sort of hangover with Manava Malka. Maybe it's...
Yeah, I also have a hangover after Shabbos. Yeah, so it's, again, that would be another good example of times that we see that things do linger after the festival. So that was what was my question. So I learned this Gemara Sukkah, and I said, it's obvious. It's obviously nothing to do with Pesach. Pesach's finished, Pesach's done and dusted, literally, done and dusted. And now we made up a new thing. We had such a wonderful yontif, and we didn't want to walk out cold into the world and just have a good and simmer without any remnant of what came before. So we made up some special thing, some very limited special day in order to reminisce and in order to connect with what came back. And that's what the Gemara is saying. That anyone who makes a Issuch Chag in a connection, an eged, to the previous yontif, then that's considered a wonderful thing. And that's why it's such a limited range of halachas, and the halachas that we do choose are specifically to connect us back. They're not really yontif halachas. They just have a good time to remember the good times. So that's what I saw in this Gemara, and I said, oh, so I've learned Issuch Chag is absolutely nothing to do with yontif. And the story would have stopped there. However, as in all good things in the Jewish religion, the story never stops there. There's another Ramah. The Ramah later in Hilchos Shavuos quotes a different halacha. There, the Ramah says that you don't say tafnon on Issuch Chag. And where does that come from? That's not from the Gemara Sukkah. The Gemara Sukkah says absolutely nothing about tafnon. So I think it's the Ates Kenim quotes, and if you look in the Beis Yosef brings a whole load of sources that all originate back to the Yerushalmi. There's Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi describes a time in Nehemiah. I hope you know Tanakh, because I certainly don't know Tanakh, but apparently there's a time in Nehemiah when all the Jews reinvigorated their Yiddishkeit, and they celebrated a festival with a fervor like they never celebrated it before, and They were so penitent, they were so torn up about what had happened, they committed to a new life, and they made a tremendous celebration, public penitence and fasting and big display, you know, everything that we do at Hafganas, I don't know if you know what that is. They made a whole big display, and they made that on the 24th of Tishrei. So the question is, the Yerushalmi asks, why did they make it on the 24th of Tishrei? Why didn't they make it on the 23rd of Tishrei? Okay, you can't do it on Yontif, so have Yontif. And on the 23rd of Tishrei, Issuch Chag, have a big public outpouring of tshuva. So the Yerushalmi says, you're not allowed to. And you know why? Because it's the Berah de Moadah, it's the sun of Yom Tov. That's the language of the Yerushalmi, and that's quoted. So there's a new halacha. A new halacha is you can't say tachnun on Nisu Chag. So that's the one more. You can't say tachnun. You can't have big public fasting. You can't have outpourings of national grief on Nisu Chag. Why? Because it's the son of Yom Tov. So when I heard these words, the son of Yom Tov, I thought to myself, what does that sound like? Does that sound like just an invented day? Nothing to do with Yom Tov? That doesn't sound like that to me. I mean, unless you've got nothing to do with your children. But when I hear the word son, I think of my children. You know, they're a chip off the old block. They're connected to me. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. When we use the word son, it certainly has a very strong connotation in our world to some connection, some watered-down version of me. And when I heard that, so I said, this doesn't sound like the Gemara Sukkah. The Gemara Sukkah sounds like absolutely nothing to do with Yom Tov. We just want to have good times to remember good times. But the Yerushalmi sounds much more like, no, today is a watered-down version of Yom Tov, and we see that different halachas emanate from these different sources. The Gemara Sukkah, the basic halacha that emanates is, have good times. Whereas where there are more quotes, this is Yerushalmi. So the Ramah doesn't quote it. Where the Ramah says this halacha and the Yerushalmi is quoted, the Beis Yosef quotes it. It's a different halacha. Not fasting, not saying tachlon. Those are much more Yom Tovdik halachas. Those are halachas, this day is Kaddish. This is not the day to be saying tachlon. This is not the day to be fasting. So if you look, that those halachas seem to emanate much more from this aspect of Isuchag, which means that it is a derivative of the festival. So that's for me, that's what I took out of this. The Isuchag, there's really two aspects to today. One aspect of today is we should have a good time. I'll see you in the park later with your children or grandchildren. And one of the reasons is to connect to the previous Yom Tov. Shouldn't just go out the window. And incidentally, if we connect to it today, it's also going to be a little bit more tomorrow. If we just forget about things wantonly, then they're gone. But if you really look at your life, no Yom Tov's ever gone. I think most people could look at their lives and say, that Yom Tov, this happened, something happened to them. And I think part of the process of how we get there is not just forgetting about things. That's one aspect. The other aspect is there is actually a touch of Yom Tov to today, and therefore it's not so simple. We don't say tachnun. It's a tremendous machlokes apostkim whether or not you can fast today. I know that I was telling you about that was Matzah Shavuos. Shavuos is different. Pesach is a bit machlokes apostkim. There's other halachas. That's the first point. That's the main point. I'd just like to finish with an interesting statement of the Ramban. It's a famous Ramban. The Ramban calls the period between Pesach and Shavuos Chol HaMoed, Kuch Chol HaMoed. He says these are days like Chol HaMoed. And again, what does he mean? So he describes, it's actually Ramban in Hilchos Shmini Atzeres, and he describes how in truth, even though we have Shalosh Regalim, we have three-foot festivals, and our calendar is structured that way, but really, the Jewish calendar is really structured with four festivals. They're not all regalim, but they're four festivals. There's Sukkos, and then the finale of Sukkos is Shmini Atzeres. Then there's Pesach, and the finale of Pesach is Shavuos. Now, you have to see there, it's a whole big discussion, exactly how Atzeres, how Shmini Atzeres is a finale to Sukkos. And also, it's straight after Sukkos, whereas this one is 49 days apart. So in truth, I think that there's a medrash that probably everyone in this room actually knows. There's a famous medrash, I don't know many medrashim, there's a medrash in the end of in the Yalkut, at the end of Parshas Pinchas, that really HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make Shmini Atzeres 49 days after Sukkos, and he had rachamim on us, it was rainy time, and he had mercy on us that he didn't want us to come back a second time in the rain, so he made it straight away. But really, the Jewish calendar in its pristine version before that would have been Sukkos, Gap, Shmini Atzeres, Pesach, Gap, Shavuos. So obviously the question is, what is the connection between Pesach and Shavuos? It's not a very hard question. The Ramban himself says, because Pesach is a time of Matan Torah, and he describes that period in between as Chol HaMoed. The way I look at it, obviously, it's not the real halachic Chol HaMoed with all its restrictions, but the way I look at it, it's a bit like magnetism. If you have like two strong magnets right next to each other, the area in between them is going to be very strongly magnetized. Whereas if those two magnets are further apart, then the area between them is going to also have a magnetic field, but a much weaker magnetic field. So it's the same with Yom Tovim. Within the same Yom Tov, the first and last day of Pesach, you have a very strong Chol HaMoed. And then if you take the more distant Pesach to Shavuos, you have a weaker Chol HaMoed between them. And it doesn't have all the halachas, but it's considered a time of sanctity. Because as we said, Moed really means an appointed time. So we're living right now in an appointed time. So the question is, what is that appointed time? So the obvious answer is that on Pesach we gained our national freedom, we gained personal autonomy, and we gained national autonomy. But on Shavuos, we have the opportunity to take that and to dedicate ourselves to the Rabbein Hashem's Torah, which is, in essence, the Rabbein Hashem's view of the world and how he wants us to be. So we take our national freedom, we dedicate ourselves to become a nation to Hashem. And that's pretty much what we say. There's four Lashos of Gula. I say to Vesatu, Gatu, V'lakati Eschem La'am. The last posuk of the four posuk of Gula is that you'll become my people. And the Sfarno and the Ibn Ezra say right there that what does that mean? It means we're going to accept the Torah, because we could just be a free people, but really the ultimate for us is to dedicate what we do have to Hashem. So I just wanted to leave you with the very touching words of the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch describes the mitzvah as fierce oimer. And you know, because sometimes you're in shul, and people are counting the oimer, and I don't know about you, but I have absolutely no idea what they're up to. Like, they're getting very excited, and the bracha, and I don't know what they're doing. It takes me like 1 minute, less than 1 minute. And I don't see all the we don't see all the tefillahs before, we don't see all the tefillahs after, so it's just the bracha, the count, harachamon. And what should one be thinking about that during that time? So I'm going to paraphrase it, if it's okay. The Sefer HaChinuch describes the mitzvah Sefer Oimer. He says that when a person is looking forward to a monumentous event in their life, then they count down to it. It's 2 days, it's 10 days to my birthday, it's 9 days to my birthday, it's 8 days to my birthday. That would be for my children. I don't think anyone here is still counting down to their birthday. I think you're counting that away. So now the Sefer HaChinuch really says, by right, we should really count 49, 48, 47, 46, etc. But if we would start with, oh, it's 49 days, that's a long time. When you're looking forward to a monumentous event, if it's too far, that's no good. So instead we count out, we go, okay, it's 1 day done, 2 days done, 3 days done, 4 days done. Now, then he says maybe we should change in the middle, he says we don't change in the middle. So he says, he describes that the whole point of the counting is that if you are looking forward to something, you count down. And the whole time of Sefer HaOmer is really a time to start looking forward. When you're 1 day down, you look forward a little bit. When you're 2 days down, you look forward a little bit. When you're 3 days, a little bit more. The whole time period that we're living in is a time that we're meant to start thinking a little bit about what's coming. And when you do, you start to look forward to it. And I think that's really the main thing to think about during the count. I can't think about Sefiros and Kabbalah. I have no idea about any of it. I'm 39, maybe in a few years. But at the moment, I have no idea what all those things mean. But I do know that when I'm counting, what am I counting to? Kabbalah, the Torah. So I have to think a little bit, what's the Torah? And what difference does it make? And I think that everyone, certainly everyone in this room, but almost every Jew could look at some aspect of Torah and look forward, because, you know, everyone's made differently. Some people, just to know the Da'as Elokim, just to know a divine word, excites them. Other people are philosophers, just to know the Jewish philosophical view of things. Other people are mathematicians, so just to see the perfect symmetry. Other people just, I don't know, even if you just like the Kishka and the Cholon, whatever it is, there's something in Torah that excites everyone, whether it's you like the lifestyle, whatever it is. And during this time period of Sefer HaOmer, I believe is a time when we count that the main mitzvah of the day, I believe, based on the Sefer HaChinuch, is just to start thinking where we're going and to be excited for it, that hopefully by the time we get to Chag HaShavuos, we'll have already initiated a process that will continue on that Yom Tov, and we will eventually be Mekabel the Torah, as every year we do.